Welcome, listeners, to Sounding Out's podcast series, an oral chronicle of sound and culture. Sounding Out remixes the everyday with theory, insight, and practice. To learn more, please visit us on the web at www.soundstudiesblog.com. Until then, stay tuned for today's episode.
This is Monteith McCollum from Binghamton University's Cinema Department. This semester I asked my performative processes class to take on a challenge given to me by Professor Jennifer Stover Ackerman, essentially to take on a collaborative creative project that involved the War of the Worlds. My class worked to do a lot of live Foley in deconstructing the last section of the original broadcast. It's challenging to do things the old way, but with the added twist of incorporating very new technologies. We wanted to do as many things live as possible in order to try and experience what it was like for Orson Welles and his radio theater group. The following are some comments made by my class of their experiences and contributions during this process, and after that you'll be able to hear the 15-minute piece that we created.
Was that your favorite sound?
Yeah, that was a little mini horse we have. And what was the burning sound we had?
Oh, and the burning sound was Angie touching a bottle of water.
It created like a crackle sound, like, you know, fire pit warning, and then he did nice
put,
effects.
A resonator on there, and it sounded like, put a tone to it, which sounded really cool.
Yeah, it came out with a nice little tone.
And we also have two pieces of metal that are just going rubbing against each other real quick. They just go like kind of like.
Oh, that's a really nice sound. And
yeah, I pitched it down so it was a little bit longer and beefier.
To add to that, we had the sound of the wave, the fake wave.
Like, oh yeah, the wave.
It's like a thunder making.
It was like a huge sheet of metal, and we just, you know, just waved it around, and it was pretty cool.
So the whole alien aspect, we try to pay respect to it.
Yeah, with the demon horse.
One of my favorite aspects of our piece is the live component. So when we were performing it for our class, Jared was triggering the sounds that we had prepared. The sound that I got to play with was, I got to play with marbles, and it swished across this pan, and the difficult part was dealing with the intensity.
We wanted to add like this chaotic element to our piece. And that's something that we wanted to bring from the original War of the Worlds. Maybe the presentation of that radio broadcast wasn't chaotic, but the chaos it provoked, that's what we wanted to kind of create with all these just incredible sounds making, just Jared making sounds with his mouth, these marbles just keep constantly moving around. Everything we had in there like served a purpose to really just layer up and make this complex piece.
I think one of the greatest parts about this project in general and the whole experience was that we included things that we kind of just found lying around. We just worked with interesting objects on the spot, and you know, that spontaneous nature of this entire you know project is really what made this different from just preparing something and then just playing it and listening to it. It was really a live situation.
Like what we had in front of us, we had like our script in front of us, and then we had the computer with Ableton on it. So, like, the APC is, like, this giant, like, rectangular board with a bunch of, like keys on it, and you have to, like, basically mash buttons. But there was, like, three of us, like, trying to mash buttons on this one small board, so it was kind of, I'm sure it's hilarious to watch it.
A collaborative effort.
Yeah, definitely collaborative. And, like, we had Sadia at the end. She rubbed two, like, cork boards together to get, like, that kind of, like, scratchy sound.
We definitely felt playful while we were in the performance mode. We were being as playful as possible.
We tried to add a little bit of mystery to it. We didn't want to tell too much of a clear-cut story, but we wanted definitely to play with sounds that triggered some kind of interesting engagement with the original material.
One of us in our team orchestrated the digital aspect. The other two of us made real world sounds again, you know, using contact microphones and just a regular mic.
So when we first started practicing our project, we started doing it in the sound room, and we all had different parts, and it was cool to see everything come together. When we did it together in the live performance, it was so much different. I mean, of course, the sound is completely different because of the room. And we were also using the live stuff. Me, I was using an air compressor to manipulate like an alien cruiser coming down. And then we also used tree branches. And then Michael did the actual Ableton live performance. And it came out really good.
The arrival of these monster creatures in the world now seems part of another life.
2X2L calling CQ. 2X2L calling CQ, New York. And anyone on the air?
Am I Richard Pierce?
Anyone? 2X2L.
Writing down my daily life, I tell myself I shall preserve human history between the dark covers of this little book that was meant to record the movements of the stars. To write, I must live, and to live, I must eat. Find moldy bread in the kitchen and an orange not too spoiled to swallow. Watch in a corner as his huge metal legs nearly brush against the house. Exhausted by terror, I fall asleep. Fall asleep. Fall asleep. Sleep, 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 sleep,
fall asleep.
Find moldy bread in the kitchen and an orange not too spoiled. Am I Richard Pearson? My wife, my colleagues, my students, my books, my observatory. Fall asleep. Fall asleep. Sleep, 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 black cloud of gas is lifted, and the scorched meadows to the north look as though a black snow skeleton. I venture from the house. I make my way to a road, no traffic. Here and there, a wrecked car, baggage overturned, a blackened skeleton.
Blackened skeleton.
I've seen the Martians feed. Come to a chestnut tree. Left to right. Finally, I noticed a living creature.
The living creature.
A small red squirrel in a beech tree. I stare at
the living creature.
Find dead cows in a brackish field, and beyond the charred ruins of a dairy, the silo remains standing guard over the wasteland like a lighthouse.
Deserted by the sea. Deserted by the sea.
Find dead cows in a brackish field, and beyond the charred ruins of a dairy, in a silo. Main
stride the silo,
perch
the
weathercock,
the arrow
points north.
Deserted by the sea. North. 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 North.
Reach the outskirts and found Newark.
North. 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 North.
Where do you come from?
I come from... from many places.
This is my country. All this end of town down the river. There's only food for one.
Presently, with an odd feeling of being watched, I caught sight of something crouching in a doorway.
Did you hear something just then?
No. Only a bird. Have you seen any Martians?
Hey, we're in the open here. Let's crawl in this doorway here and talk. Tricks. Who knows? Get sentimental over the pet boy who grew up and had to be killed. You get to know that birds have shadows these days.
After parting with the artillerymen, I came at last to the Holland Tunnel and entered that silent tube. Anxious to know the fate of the great city on the other side of the Hudson. Reached 14th Street there again with black powder, several bodies, and an evil, evil, ominous smell from the grating of the cellars of the houses. Stood alone on Times Square. Stood alone on Times Square. Stood alone on Times Square. walked up Broadway in perfection of that. Strange powder, that silent shop windows. For playing there, their mute wares just empty sidewalks. What side of a lean dog running down 7th Avenue to dark brown medians, Joe? Back at Starling Mont. That's the Capsule Theater. Silent. The dark. That's the shooting gallery where a row of empty guns places an arrested line of wood ducks. Over the top of the General Motors building, I watched a flock of black birds circling the sky. Very dark. Suddenly, I caught sight of the hood of a Martian machine. I rushed recklessly across Glenwell Circle and into the park. My eyes were attracted to the immense flock of black birds that hovered directly below me. They circled in the ground. Dark and silent, they're the Martians, the hungry birds pecking and tearing brown shreds of flesh. Before the cylinder fell, there was general persuasion to all those deep in space. No life existed beyond the petty surface of our minute sphere. Strange it now seems to sit in my peaceful study at Princeton, writing down this last chapter of the record, begun at a deserted farm in Grover's Hill. Strange to watch children playing in the streets. Strange to see young people strolling on the green where the new spring grass. Strange to watch the sightseers enter the museum where the dissembled parts of the Martian machine are kept on public view. Am I Richard Pearson? Am I Richard Pearson?